Listen, folks, Jello Biafra was the original frontman of the seminal American punk band, the Dead Kennedys. He is a record label founder. He was a mayoral candidate in San Francisco. He has pissed off just about everyone that he should, including Bill Graham for performing naked and Tipper Gore in the Parents Music Resource Center for being dirty and honest and crapping on the myths that define the minions of zombies that drive this country. He was actually charged with distributing harmful matter to minors as a victim of a Tipper witch hunt. He's been doing spoken word shows since 1986, and the recordings can be found on his label at AlternativeTentacles.com. He's with us on the phone now. Welcome to the show, Jello Biafra.
Hi.
Hey, man, they killed Zarqawi. The war must be over, right?
Well, I think we've heard this before, haven't we? You know,
sure.
Mission accomplished on the aircraft carrier, which almost everybody, even in the audience at my show, assumes was an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf.
And right.
It was actually, you know, off the coast of San Diego and ate up $1 million worth of fuel until the Carl Rovians decided the lighting was just right for mission accomplished.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they pull Saddam Hussein out of the spider hole looking like Abby Hoffman on really bad drugs.
Yeah.
And suddenly, oh, hey, we've won. And, you know, they showed over and over again on the instant replays on you know, all the corporate McNews shows, they're looking at his teeth. They're looking at his teeth. They're looking at his teeth.
Yeah.
I'm really relieved to know that they've been so thorough in their searches for weapons of mass destruction, which of course they still can't find.
Yeah, but you know, they did give Saddam 2 new caps.
Oh, really?
I'm kidding. But, you know,
I wonder if they had bugging devices in
sure.
them.
They can actually hear his thoughts now.
So they could add that to the NSA's pile of gobbledygook, where even the intelligence community is admitting that we've got so much stuff on so many people, nobody has time to go through it all.
I know. You know, it's weird, Jello, is people are listening to our conversation right now.
Well, yeah, but that was kind of the intention.
Oh, damn it. You got me.
I mean, one thing that makes this kind of important to me is, in addition to now, here we are fighting for our right to privacy again,
mm-hmm.
and I never thought we'd be in a position where here we are, one of the major battles of our generation is going to be fighting to reclaim our right to vote from electronic right-wing hackers and things.
Not just that, but you know.
And now,
go ahead.
And now I think we are even in serious danger of losing our right to communicate with each other. There's bills in Congress to allow, you know, the big phonies, the telecommies,
sure.
Comcast, AT&T, to shut down any internet site or communication that they can't make a ton of money off of. And, of course, content itself is under attack, too. Maynard from Tool told me that after Rupert Murdoch bought out MySpace, his criticisms of George Bush on his MySpace page got censored.
Is that true?
Yeah, well, that's what he told me.
Is somebody killing a cat in your kitchen?
No. She just wants to kill me because I won't let her outside.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. I want to do a little history thing because, you know, when I was going over your biography and your press materials and stuff, a lot of people don't remember just, you know, how much they tried to crucify you and crucify people like Zappa was the guy who stood up for it during those hearings. But there was a real witch hunt around music, and they really laid into you. I had limited recollection of that. And
well, that still goes on because the former members of my old band have now gone completely money-grubbing corporate
uh-huh.
and might as well be hanging out at the Republican convention, spent years suing me because in part because I opposed putting Holiday in Cambodia in a Levi's commercial. And I recently got an inquiry from somebody they are going to hire to manage Dead Kennedys, as if that's a current existing band. And I went to that management's website, and they listed things like, oh, yeah, one of us worked with Britney Spears, one of us represents sports stars. I'm going, what is this? You know, I don't want to be forced into becoming something like that against my will.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you a question, Jello Biafra.
I mean, it's not just the fascism of government and spying and whatnot. It's corporations thinking they own people. And, you know, even former band members wanting to become a corporation, and they've tried to both arm twist and bully me into rejoining the band against my will,
but,
which I don't want to do, which would, you know, just so they can make more money.
But
I think let's turn this around for a minute. I don't think I was crucified, harassed, yes, fought back, had to. But let's put this in perspective.
Okay.
Compared to somebody like Mumia Abu-Jamal,
sure,
or the West Memphis Three, or the hundreds of people still being held in secret in this country because,
right,
of their brown skin or their Mideastern ethnic origin, and the other 15,000 prisoners we're still holding incommunicado all over the world, people like us and myself are on easy street.
Well, yeah, but I think the point I was trying to make, Joe, was that it was stifling dissent and stifling a language of dissent in this country that is, you know, maybe you still have the freedom to do it, but the outlets become smaller and smaller. If you go to a protest, you know, you're three blocks away in a pen. If you get your message out, it's usually fragmented because of the way you have to go about getting your message out. I think the point I was trying to make, and alongside of what you were saying about your bandmates, is that these guys volunteer to be corporate whores, and they diminish the power of the music. And this happens to some of my greatest musical heroes, and I think it's horrendous.
Well, that's why I've tried to prevent it in the case of Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, they've pimped the actual albums off to people I don't trust or respect, and, you know, obviously the content and the songs themselves, most of which I wrote, mean more to me than it ever did to them. But again, I have to put this in a greater perspective. I can either bemoan this, and granted, I'm pretty damn angry because I continue to be mistreated and I'm not allowed to see all the books and things like that.
Yeah.
There's bigger things going on right now.
Sure, sure.
I mean, even people who were old enough that they were adults,
yeah,
and knew full well what was going on in the McCarthy era have said that they've never been as frightened for what this country is turning into as they are right now. And
it's horrendous.
Not just Bush, it's Bushism.
It's all of them.
And that's kind of something that affects both parties,
yeah,
in a very big way.
Right. I mean, today it comes out, Arlen Specter wrote a letter to Dick Cheney because he undermined the Senate subcommittee's investigation into these wiretapping things because...
Oh, my gosh, he wrote a letter. Oh, what courageous action. I mean, if he really wanted to go after Cheney, he'd go to Cheney's house with the media in tow and just pound on his door until Cheney opened up, Michael Moore style.
Yeah.
Or maybe recruit a few people who went after the Frankenstein monster and the Karloff movie in the 30s. You know,
yeah.
I'd love to see a whole bunch of people with torches outside of Cheney's home.
That'd be
saying,
great.
Come out, Prince of Darkness. You have lots to answer for. And meanwhile, he's probably just inside getting drunk before he goes quail hunting again or something. I don't know.
Or friend hunting. The
maybe that's why John Edwards was so spineless in that that staged televised debate between the two, where he didn't even go after Cheney over the Secret yeah. Energy Commission.
He had a gun.
Had a map of Iraq,
yeah,
and a plan written by James Baker on how to take over the oil fields, and Cheney had only been in office, two or three months at that point? Another thing that just came my way was a statement given to Congress by General Tommy Franks,
yeah,
who was the Supreme Commander of the U.S. Central Command, which,
yeah,
covers the Middle East at that time,
right,
about a week after Clown Prince W. was anointed the president. And he talks about, right in this thing, about, you know, the buildup is nearly complete in Kuwait, we've got our base in Qatar almost up to where we want it. This buildup to try and attack Iraq was going on under Clinton.
Ooh. Sure, sure. Now, let me ask you something, Jella.
That made my eyes pop out of my head, even though I think a lot of the economic inequality and a lot
right.
of really screwed up stuff going on in the world, it traces back to Clinton, and it's not just Bush.
But
people saying, oh, well, we just have to put our heads in the sand until 2008, and then Hillary will save us.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to mean a whole lot of change. It's Bushism.
Let me cut in for a second, and we're gonna take a quick break. And what we're gonna do is
I shouldn't have stopped talking.
No. We're gonna come back.
Make fun of the sponsors like I did on Janine Garofalo's show.
I don't know if you're gonna be able to hear the sponsors because we're taping. So.
I'm so disappointed.
I'm
no
sorry.
Commercials
but
over
we will phone. We will come back and deal with the Democrats. We'll deal with your East Coast tour, and we'll deal with. I want to talk about prison in a minute. We'll be back with Jello Biafra. I won the law and I won.
Wow, life is a bowl of pits. Mark Maron.
Thanks, Jim. Our guest on the phone is Jello Biafra, who is hitting the road in a big way, man. I mean, you've got a hell of a schedule ahead of you. You're working like every day. You're going to Pittsburgh, Buffalo, the higher ground in Burlington, Vermont. That's a good I've played that room. That's a good room.
Yeah, I didn't get put back on the line with you until right when you were talking about the higher ground, so I'm not quite sure what your question is. I'm assuming it's about my latest little barnstorming.
Yeah, I just said you're going to be on the road. Yeah, literally barnstorming, man. What are you going to be in a car? Are you flying? How are you going to do this?
It depends.
Yeah. Now, when you go out and perform,
I prefer sedan chair, but it's not always available.
Yeah. So now let me just ask you, because we're having this conversation about the Democrats now, and what is a gelatopia look like? I mean, what is the solution?
Gelatopia? I hadn't thought of that one.
I mean, people who are outspoken and people who do what we can to help raise awareness and get people thinking along the lines of truth. It's frustrating. You do get through, but you don't know whether you are facilitating real change. What would you like to see happen?
You want me to put that in a sound bite?
No, you got like 5 minutes.
I mean, even my spoken word shows and sometimes be 4 hours long, you know, so much to say.
Don't have that much time.
And a huge chunk of that is what I would like to see happen.
How about just politically?
I would start by people checking out the platform of the Green Party. I'm down with a lot of what they want to do with, better stewardship of the environment, economic equality, and, of course, a commitment to peace instead of war. Dennis Kucinich, the only halfway decent Democrat who ran for president in 2004, even proposed a cabinet position, the Department of Peace.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. He's a great speaker.
Of defense, and I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah.
Now that farmers can make more money selling wind power than they can growing wheat, we might want to get a little more serious about that. I believe our drug laws are completely and utterly insane and need to join the 21st century with a decriminalization not just of cannabis, but of even crack and heroin and whatnot.
You should be able to get that out of a machine at a bar.
No, I did. I said decriminalize.
I made a
joke.
Legalize.
What decriminalize means is it's a regulated opiate like they do with the alcohol and the cigarette trade.
I know.
No, I don't think people should be allowed to drive stoned.
No.
No, I can tell you from experience that yes, it does inhibit your ability to drive.
Yes, it does.
But I don't think people should be doing 20-year sentences for smoking weed to ease the pain of cancer or a terrible disease.
That's absolutely right. And you know what it is, though.
But I mean, in countries like Holland, and they've tried this in other areas of Europe, where even something like heroin or cocaine is decriminalized, where you can go to a government center and get your dope on prescription and shoot up or snort it in a safe place. You know, you're sick, you're ill, you got to do what you got to do. They acknowledge that. But this also means that the addict does not have to rob and kill people to pay the mob's high drug prices, and crime goes down.
Right, and also that the reason, like I was talking about prisons.
A lot more money for rehab,
sure.
Too.
Okay.
I saw a great statistic a little while ago.
Yeah.
Of all the so-called aid we've given poor Afghanistan, we ran amok in that country, in last year, $780 million went for drug eradication.
That business is at $400 billion. All right, you got to stop. You got
to
stop filibustering. You
got to
cut. You got to stop.
And bought the drugs.
Jello.
Then it would have
stop.
What?
No, I just wanted to get a word in edgewise, because I thought that what you were talking about in terms of the way that they do hand out sentences.
Let me finish this point. It could cost less to buy the drugs than it does to conduct the drug war. Buy them, destroy them.
Well, it's interesting, because I'm going to talk to a guest after you who's talking about the prison industry, which is now a $40 billion a year industry that is really banking on, jacking up sentences for lesser offenses, just what you're talking about. So, and they obviously own their own politicians. So in order to shift this paradigm like you're talking about, who do you like Kucinich, but who do you see maybe spearheading some sort of movement towards the sanity around this stuff? Anybody?
I think we've got to quit buying into the cartoon tabloid version of how elections should be run. It's
right.
just a horse race between two famous people
yeah.
trying to disguise what jerks they are while the pundits analyze their commercials instead of the issues.
Exactly.
Any change like this has to come from the ground up.
Okay.
And every election cycle, maybe in the past decade by now, more Greens have been elected to local offices. And granted, it's a small start, but if this can penetrate upstate legislatures on upward, that's where we're going to get the change.
So it's going to be the Greens against the fanatic Christians.
Well, I mean, hopefully there's going to be a lot of people who are neither fanatical on either side. I mean, my experience from covering the 2000 Democratic Convention for Free Speech TV was that a lot of the rank-and-file Democrats are not bad people, but it's just that they don't really totally have a grasp of how much their own hierarchy has betrayed them.
Absolutely.
My exit poll question to people who are all giddy after they'd nominated Al Gore for president, rah, rah, we're going to win.
Yeah.
What excites you about Al Gore? And the what I got back was, oh, yeah, he's for civil rights. Oh, he'll fight the oil companies. He's for the environment. And I asked each one a follow-up question. Do you have any idea what his record really is on this issue? And two-thirds of the people just stared at me dumbfounded and said no.
That requires homework, yeah. Do you still do I had one of our fans of our show asked, do you still ever do your version of the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pulled it back out again a while back. Maybe I'll bring it back. I don't know. I'll have to look at that. Because I do have some, because generally I just kind of riff on topics at the spoken word shows now, but I am revamping Die for Oil Sucker, which I was hoping I'd never have to read again after Gulf War number one. And there's an expansion of the intro I put on the new Ministry album for their Ass Clowns song, now called Ass Clowns in Toyland. And message from our sponsor is still in the show because it's such a great way to open the whole thing and cast the proper atmosphere where I basically do a quick version of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds as a, you know, current corporate media announcing a full-on military coup.
Oh, that was from way back. Wasn't it from the late 80s you did that?
Yeah, I think I pulled that out initially.
I remember that was like the first album of yours that I had.
Yeah,
doing
yeah.
spoken word. Well, if you want any of these albums, folks, it's at alternativetentacles.com. Tour dates are there. Jello Biafra is going to be all up and down the East Coast. Be careful, man. It was great talking to you.
Thanks.
You take care. All right. So as I said, did I talk at all?
Well, sure, he talked a lot. Yeah.
Oh, he was. It's weird when, you know, he was as efficient a filibuster as Ted Kennedy was when I talked to him. They just keep coming, and you can have a conversation alongside of what they're saying, and they can still not hear you. But I thought that he was good. It doesn't sound like he scripts anything, which I can respect, actually, a bit. You know, there could be a couple punchlines.
He had a lot to say.
He does have a lot to say. He's riffing on the truth. But when you do a four-hour spoken word show without an outline, that takes some serious nads, man, to keep talking. I wonder, I don't know if I could sit through a four-hour show. Could you sit through a four-hour spoken word show of anybody?
No. I could barely sit through, like, a five-minute spoken word.
Did you imagine?
I'm not saying I don't like spoken word, but, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, okay.
See how our attention spans have changed? Back in ancient Greece, when Homer used to lay out the Odyssey, people would sit for 9-10 hours for just the first half.
Well, that's all they had.
Yeah. Why can't we get back to that, man?
And it was religion back
Let's
then.
Do that. We'll do a special on the weekend. You and I will read the Odyssey, like on a Saturday, the whole Odyssey. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I don't have to read it. I can recite it.
The Dawn's Rosy Fingers? Something like that. You can't recite it. All right, look.
You challenging me?
No, yeah, I am. Rich